Welcome to Shiur and Sfarno Parshas Kisisa. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Bonnie Keller, marking the yard side of her late husband, Yisrael B'Rev Meir Lieber. His yard side is tonight, and the Neshama should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach, from the Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'isim tovim that the family is involved in. We started yesterday discussing the story of the Egel Azov, the golden calf, and one of the basic questions that all of the Mefarshim deal with is the role that Aaron HaKohen played in the golden calf. You read the simple interpretation of the Psukim, it sounds like Aaron is quite complicit in whatever happened. They go to him, he's involved directly in fashioning the Egel HaZahav, and yet he kind of gets off scot-free. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu reprimands him, but other than that, there really doesn't seem to be any significant punishment for Aaron HaKohen, and one wonders why. How do you square that with what seems to be his tremendous involvement? So we started talking about this a little bit yesterday, and we also addressed the question as to whether the Egel Azov was an Avodah Zarah, was it an attempt to introduce a foreign god, or was it something less than that? The Ramban and the Kuzari both famously say that the Egel Azov was not an Avodah Zarah, it was not a form of idolatry. They were not worshipping the Egel Azov. They were simply using it as an intermediary to be able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban in particular brings a proof to that idea from the statement that Aaron makes immediately after the Egel Azov is built. Vayikra Aaron Vayomar Chag Lashem Mochar. Tomorrow is going to be a celebration for Yud Kei Vav Hei, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're building an Avodah Zarah, and Aaron HaKohen is talking about making a party for the Ribbono Shel Olam, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't seem to fit. So says the Ramban, the way to understand it is that the people did not perceive the Egel HaZov as a substitute for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw the Egel HaZov as a substitute for Moshe Rabbeinu. But it was still possible to have an Egel HaZov and to still say with a straight face, we're going to make a party for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Ribbono Shel Olam, tomorrow. Right, okay, so let's go slowly, right? So let's go one thing at a time. Does the Sfarno agree with this position of the Ramban and the Kuzari? My impression is not. On the Pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Dalet, where the people say, Eile Elohecho Yisrael, after the Egel Azov emerges, they say, these are your gods, O Israel. So the Sfarno writes, what does that mean? Eile Yiyu Etzlecha Elohim. This golden calf will be an Elohim for you. What does that mean? Shetispalel Aleihem. You'll daven to it. Bechol Tzarkecho, whenever you need something. Va'osom Tavot Lahasig Chavtzecho. And you will worship it in order to achieve that which you wish. To my mind, that sounds like they're viewing it as a deity. Beryl Rosenberg was talking to me yesterday. He said you don't have to read it that way. You could read it that the Egel Azov is an intermediary, not a deity in its own right, but rather just taking the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, as so to speak, a shtadlon with the Ribbono Shel Olam, someone who's representing Klal Yisrael before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seems to me it's a little bit more like the Egel Azov has greater significance than that, that he's actually, the Egel Azov is actually viewed by Klal Yisrael as an object of veneration, of worship, you know, something which is deity-like. But in any case, the Sfarno has a different take on Aaron's statement, Chag Lashem Mochar. He says, V'lo te'arbevu simchaso be'el acher. When Aaron HaKohen is saying to the people, tomorrow we're going to make a party for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's telling them, and therefore don't mix our celebration of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with any other power, with any other God. The way I read that is that Aaron understood that the people had made the golden calf into a deity, and by saying Chag Lashem Mochar, so Aaron is saying, scrap your deity, we're going to stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and indeed we're going to make a celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomorrow, and in a sense one might view that as Aaron HaKohen's protest against the Egel HaZahav. Stop where you are, don't go any further with this stuff, Tomorrow we're making a big celebration. We're going to have a tish. We're going to have a siyum. We're going to have rabbanim coming from all over the place and speaking. We're going to make a party for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So throw out your Egel Azov and concentrate instead on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how I understand the Sforno's remarks. Having said that, the Sforno doesn't really, in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, flesh out why Aaron did what he did, why he didn't choose to give up his life rather than aid and abet in the creation of an Avodah Zarah. But some of these issues may come out a little bit later when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain and he confronts Aaron and asks him to explain himself, and Aaron does exactly that. So again, let's just read the psukim, and then we'll see the comments of the Sforno. We'll try to put everything together in understanding what's going on over here. So Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph, describes, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron. Moshe comes down, he says to Aaron, Me'asa l'cho ha'om hazeh. What did this nation do to you? Ki evesa alav chata gedola, that you brought such a terrible sin upon it. Vayomer Aaron says back, Al yichar af Adoni, may my master not be angry with me. Ato yodato es ha'om ki virahu. You know that this people is connected to evil. Ki virahu. What exactly does that mean? So the Sforno comments on that. Shekvar hoyu b'inyan ra. You know that this people were connected previously to something evil, namely, nitzmadin l'gilulei Mitzrayim. They were attached to the idols of Egypt. In other words, you know that it's very difficult to wean this nation off of Avodah Zarah, and you know that it's an uphill battle to do so. What's the point he's making? So I think the point that the Sforno is making within Aaron's response to Moshe Rabbeinu is as follows. Should Aaron have just, when they came to him and they said, we want to make some kind of god, let's say that they are talking in terms of a deity, perhaps what Aaron should have done should have been to just say, I'm not going to do that, and they would have killed him. Right? As Chazal say that they indeed did do with regard to Chur, that they killed Chur. Maybe Aaron should have given up his life as well. But apparently Aaron made the following cheshbon, he made the following calculation. He said, look, in the end of the day, it's not just about me, it's about the Jewish people. The Jewish people need to be slowly brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have a natural proclivity towards idolatry. They're still attached in so many ways to the idols of Egypt. Ata yodato es ha'am ki virahu. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you know that this nation is still steeped in the idolatry of Mitzrayim. Yeah, on a certain level, it would be easy for me to just say no, but then they'd kill me and they'd go ahead and do whatever they're going to do. Perhaps if I work with them, there's something I can do that will lead them in the right direction. Maybe I can be mekarev them, understanding how their history makes it very, very difficult for them to abandon Avodah Zarah. So what did I do? So the pasuk continues. Vayomru li, says Aaron, the people said to me, Asei lonu Elohim asher yelchu lefoneinu, make, again, the way I'm reading it, a god who will go before us. Kizeh Moshe ha'ish asher ha'lonu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yodonu me'hoyolo. Because this man Moshe, who took us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Va'omar lohem, so I said to them, Lemi zohov, who has gold? So right away, hisparoku vayitnu li, they pulled out their gold and they gave it to me. Va'ashlicheyu va'esh, I then threw the gold into the fire. Vayetzei ho'egel hazeh, and this golden calf came out. That's a very strange phrase. Vayetzei ho'egel hazeh, this golden calf came out. If I didn't know any better, I would say Aaron HaKohen was kind of walking away from the whole story. Ho ho! Who knew that a golden calf was going to magically come out from the cauldron when we threw in the gold. What do you mean? Who knew that it was going to come out? In the beginning of the parak, it describes Vayikach miyodam, pasuk dalet. So Aaron took the gold from their hands, Vayaaseyu ego masecho, and he fashioned it into a molten metal calf. So what do you mean, Vayetzeho ego is it? It just happened to come out. Again, Chazal say that that's indeed what happened. Somehow magically it came out. But how do you fit that together with the statement that Aaron himself makes in the beginning of the parak? So the Sfarno writes as follows. So again, realizing that I would have to do whatever I could, it wouldn't work to just say no. I'd have to try to wean them away from this idea in a clever way. I said to them, who has gold? Samti adover lenimna, she'en zav muchan. I first wanted to delay them. I figured, you know, how likely is it that they have gold ready to give over to me? So I asked them for gold, figuring that that would delay things. Hisparaku vayitnuli. Unfortunately, I underestimated the people. I figured, you know, I guess Aaron HaKohen was in the business of fundraising. You know, if you're in the business of fundraising and you get up and you say, does anyone have gold? All of a sudden, everybody dives under the benches. So I figured the same thing would happen over here also. I said, does anyone have gold? And I figured that would be it. You know, it would be done. Everybody would run out the door. But Hisparaku vayitnuli, that's not what happened. They immediately grabbed off their gold and they handed it over to me. Hem nisnadvu hazav b'mehirus. They quickly gave me the gold. Okay. So now Aaron says, okay, so now what am I going to do to delay things? So he says, v'ashlicheyu v'esh. I threw the gold into the fire. Says the Sfarno, bikashti le'acher es hadavar. Again, I wanted to delay things even further. Vishlachti es hazahav bo'esh bezulas tachbulas hatsorfim hatsrichos lahatiches hazav. You know, if you're making something out of gold, you can't just take the lump of gold or the collected gold and throw it into the fire. There's work that has to be done before that in order to prepare the gold and ready it for usage. I didn't do any of that. I just threw the gold into the fire knowing that it would take a long time. But then Vayetze ha'egel hazeh, this golden calf came out. Now how did that happen? So says the Sfarno, bilti pulas hishtadlusi. I wasn't involved at all. I had nothing to do with it. The last thing I did was to throw the gold into the fire, and then the next, I turn around, and the next thing I know, there's a golden calf. Now, how do you square that with the psukim? It says, Vayaseu ego masecha. Right? It says earlier that Aaron made a golden calf. Like, so how do you square his statement over here with what the Torah itself says earlier? So the Sfarno goes on and says as follows, Lohim tinu she'aseu ani kidivreyem. The people didn't even wait for me. They pushed me out of the way. They took the gold, which was already melting in the fire, and they made it into a golden calf. Ki amnon ba'amro vayaseu ego masecha. Even though the Torah says earlier, back in Pasuk Dalet, he made it into a metal calf. Lo amar zeh al Aharon. The subject of that sentence is not Aharon. The subject of that sentence is the people. So in other words, the way the Sfarno reads Pasuk Dalet, very, very unique way of reading it, is that Vayikach miyodom, he, Aaron, took the gold from their hands, Vayaseyu ego masecha, and they, the people, made it into a golden calf. Now you say, wait a minute. You know, that's a very creative way of reading the pasuk. So you say the pasuk switches subject mid-sentence? Again, everything here is a pronoun. You know, he did this, he did this, he did this. So you're saying the first he is Aaron, and the second he or they is the people. Again, it's a singular. You have to assume that it's the people, you know, the nation, as opposed to, you know, a plural. So how on earth can you read it that way? That's so creative that it stretches, you know, it's not a simple reason, not a simple reading. So says the Sfarno, no, don't be bothered by this reading. Ki'inyon v'samach es yodo v'shochat. quotes a pasuk by the Karbanos, the beginning of Perek Gimel in Vayikra. It says he should place his hand on the top of the karbon, should do smicha, v'shachat, and then he shechs the karbon. Right? Again, all using pronouns. He should do this, he should do this, he should do this. Shiritzono, v'samach hamakriv, v'shachat hashochet. Who places his hands on top of the karbon? The owner of the karbon. Who shechts the karbon? Generally speaking, it's the kohen. So in other words, that's another example, says the Svarno, where you can have a pasuk that has multiple verbs, where the subject for any of the verbs is not identified, and the subject of the first verb is not the same subject as the second verb. Right? The owners of the karbon put their hands on top of the karbon. The kohen shechts the karbon. But the way it says in the pasuk is, he should place his hands on it, and he should shecht it. It's not the same he. So if that's acceptable grammatically, syntactically, in that pasuk, so says the Svarno, so it's not a stretch to say that that's what's going on over here as well. Aaron HaKohen is looking to delay. I'll throw the gold in. We'll come back. Okay, Rabosai, we're going to take a break now. You know, we'll jog around the block a couple of times. We'll see what's going to happen. Yeah, I'll work on it. You know? And he comes back, and all of a sudden, they're hammering out a golden calf. That's the chen hayid. And in fact, says the Svarno, that's what the parak itself tells us a little bit later on, Pasuk Lamed Hay. The Pasuk says, Vaygof Hashem es ha'am, God struck the people with a plague, al asher osu es ha'egel asher osu aharon. On account of the fact that they made the calf which Aaron had made. Says the Svarno, that pasuk is internally contradictory. God struck down the people with a plague because they made the calf which Aaron had made. How could they have made that which Aaron made? Either they made it or Aaron made it. You know, one way or the other. It's not both. So he says, the way to understand the pasuk is as follows. Shehem osu es ho'egel, they made the calf, asher osu bomasa Aaron. But Aaron had been involved with making the calf. In other words, they completed the calf, which was initiated by some of the actions of Aaron. That is to say, shetziro v'hishli chazov bohesh. Aaron gathered the gold, he threw the gold into the fire, so in that sense, it's asher osa Aaron, it's that they completed the act which had been begun by Aaron, but Aaron began it with the hope of delaying and ultimately getting them to somehow move away from the entire project. He figured, you know what, you know, I'll have the gold cooking on the fire. Meanwhile, I have some chevra, they'll come, they'll give a discovery program, you know, they'll convince everybody that this is really a bad idea, and we'll get everybody back on track, and meanwhile, hopefully Moshe Rabbeinu will come down from the mountain, and everything's going to work out. That's Aaron's plan going into this. I realize that the people are steeped in Avodah Zarah, so I can't just say no, I have to think cleverly as to how to get them away from all of this. Meanwhile, they go, and they create an Egel Azov. And he really was not involved at all. That's what the pasuk means. Vayetzei ho'egel azeh. All of a sudden, this calf came out. What do you mean, all of a sudden this calf came out? I really wasn't involved. They took the molten gold, and they all of a sudden started making it into a golden calf. And that's what they say, again, just to put this explanation of Aaron together with the psukim. Earlier in the perek, after making this golden calf, sort of taking Aaron by surprise, the people then say, Eile Elohecho Yisrael, these are your gods, O Israel. We should daven to this calf. We should ask this calf to fulfill our needs. And immediately, Vayikra Aaron Vayomar, Aaron, very taken aback, yells out and says, No. Chag liyud kevav kemochar. Tomorrow, we're going to make a party to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Forget about this calf. We're making a party for Hashem tomorrow. So why tomorrow? Why wait for tomorrow? Maybe he figured in the interim Moshe Rabbeinu would come back. Maybe he needed time to plan the party. I mean, it's not so simple to put a party together, right? He has to work on the party that they're going to plan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or maybe he just figured, you know, let's take one step at a time. To really, again, I know how steep the people are in Avodah Zarah. Let's give them some time to cool off. We'll make a nice big party for HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomorrow. And that will reorient the people, and then I'll kind of bring them back onto the right track. Now, unfortunately, that really didn't go well. And the Sfara points out that Aaron's good intentions over here, meaning, let's have a party tomorrow for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ended up actually making things worse. Because he plans the party, and they taka make a party the following day. But the party that was supposed to be for Yudke Vovke ends up becoming a party for this newfound Avodah Zarah. Exactly the opposite of Aaron's intention. As Aaron really had the best intentions over here, and everything went horribly wrong. And the Svarno, following up on that idea, writes the following. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai in Pasuk Tesvav, says, Vayifen vayered Moshe min ahar. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, Shnei luchos ha'edus biyodo, and he's holding on to the two tablets. Comments the Svarno, Ki choshav shebeshuvu aleim yoshuvu b'tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down from the mountain. He knows that the people have built a golden calf, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told him that while he's still on the top of the mountain. But he still holds out hope for the people. He brings down the tablets, and he says, I'm confident that when I come down, this big, you know, this holy image, Moshe Rabbeinu, long beard, luchos, you know, very, very impressive, spiritual, all of that. I'm confident the people will do tshuva. V'im ayin yishabrem le'enehem. However, if they don't do tshuva just by seeing me, I will break the luchos. That's his intention. But why? L'chalos einayim k'dei sh'yachzor b'tshuva. Because the breaking of the luchos, I'm sure, will shock them enough that they will do tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu is convinced they're going to do tshuva. Right? It's not possible they're not going to do tshuva. Either they'll do tshuva simply by virtue of the fact that they'll see me in my role as the Eved Hashem, or if that doesn't work, the breaking of the luchos is going to shock them back into compliance. What happens? So, pasuk yutes, he comes down. Vayihi kasher karav al amachna, he comes down. He comes close to the camp. Vayares oegel umecholos. He sees the golden calf and the dancing around the golden calf. Comments the Svarno. Kishira'a shahayu smechim bakilkul sha'asu. It wasn't just that they had made a calf. What really bothered Moshe Rabbeinu was the dancing. He could have lived with the calf. He figured, okay, you know, they made a calf, they messed up. We get it, people mess up. But it's not just enough that you messed up. You're celebrating the fact that you messed up. Ki'inyan, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, ki ro'esi oz ta'alozi. It's not enough that you sinned, but you're jumping for joy that you sinned. Uvozeh his katzef, that got Moshe Rabbeinu angry. V'no'osh shiyuchal l'skon hama'uvas. And Moshe Rabbeinu despaired of being able to fix the crookedness of the Jewish people and of being able to bring them back to their prior state of innocence. He saw the dancing and he said, that's it. No chance these people are doing tshuva. They're happy about what they did. That messed it up. It's no chance that v'yihyu ru'uyin la'oso haluchos. No chance that they will be deserving of these luchos. And at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchos not because he thinks that breaking the luchos will get them to do tshuva, but he breaks the luchos in despair. There's no way these people are doing tshuva. It's the mecholos, it's the dancing that bothers him so, so tremendously. Now, how did the dancing come about? So we keep reading in the Sfarno, Pasuk Chof Aleph. We mentioned this Pasuk before. Moshe Rabbeinu goes over to Aaron, and he says, what on earth did you do over here? Ki hevesa alav chata gedola. You brought a tremendous sin upon this people. We read that phrase, and the simple pshat is, well, because you helped build the calf. But according to the Sfarno's interpretation, the truth is Aaron was very minimally involved, if at all, in the building of the calf. You know, he threw he gathered the gold, which they probably would have done anyway. He threw the gold into the fire. They would have done that anyway. And then he walked away, and they kind of took over from that point. He was really very minimally involved. So what's, on a certain level, what's Moshe Rabbeinu so angry at Aaron? Says the Sfarno, shesamchu bekilku b'mecholos. You're responsible for the fact that they were dancing. You may not be responsible for the eagle. That's right. You know, you walked away from the eagle. But you're responsible for the dancing. Why are you responsible for the dancing? Because you were the one who had this idea that we're going to make a party for Hashem. So okay, they had everything out for the party. They had the streamers. They had the balloons. You know, everything was good to go. Shweki started to sing. And then, you know, instead of dancing, you know, Ano Avda Dekud Shabrichu, they started singing to the Egel and dancing around the Egel. So the dancing is your fault, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron. You're the one who made a party. Had they not made a party, they wouldn't be dancing. The fact that they rejoiced over the Egel is actually worse than the fact that they made the Egel itself. It's a very, very interesting take that the Sfarno has. On the one hand, Aaron's role in the actual construction of the Egel is minimal to almost non-existent. On the other hand, the real sin for which Aaron does bear responsibility, even if inadvertently, is the simcha, the joy that the people take in the making and the worship of the Egel, and that ultimately is the harder sin to try to achieve kapara, to try to achieve atonement for. Okay.